And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Alison's just going to lead us in prayer before Shane speaks.
Jesus, our Lord, thank you for loving us so much. Open our hearts and minds to receive what you want, to receive what you have for our lives tonight. Be with Shane tonight. Help him to be bold in what you want him to say to us tonight through your word, Lord. Whatever we learn from you, help us to be bold and put it into action in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
About 500 years, Christians have sung that song in celebration of Christmas, in celebration of a time remembered where, as we heard in the reading, angels came and visited, or angel, followed by angels, came and visited upon some freaked out shepherds. Now, over 500 years, sometimes things can get lost in meaning. Sometimes you need a little bit of a help to understand what someone meant 500 years ago. God rest ye merry, comma, gentlemen. Now, there's a bit of work we need to do on this first line, isn't there? We need an asterisk to start with, because this isn't just for the gentlemen. This is for all people. And the message is, God rest ye merry. The second line actually helps you understand what that means. Let nothing you dismay. The idea is that for a restless people, for a people gripped in anxiety, the worries of the world and the things that weigh us down, the prayer of the song is that God may soothe you to wholeness. In your restlessness and anxiety, may God bring rest and peace. It's a message that people need to hear today. It's a message that some freaked out shepherds that we heard about in Luke 2 needed to hear 2,000 years ago. But this song, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, actually captures the intention of God that dates back even further than that. You see, the shepherds on Christmas were not the first shepherds to encounter angels. In fact, rewind the clock another 2,000 years and a restless shepherd encountered angels. In fact, this shepherd from the day of his birth seemed a restless man, a man never satisfied, a man always grasping for more. The day he was born, he grasped for more. Throughout his life, he endured a rivalry with his brother. One of those families where dad loved his brother more and mum liked him. And there was a battle, a rivalry, as he was never satisfied with his position in the family. Famously, his name means the deceiver. He was one who always wanted to grasp and get more, even if that came at compromising his integrity, deceiving, cheating his own brother out of his birthright and out of his blessing. The man's name is Jacob. And he was a shepherd 2,000 years before these Christmas shepherds who encountered angels. This Jacob, having gone through this rivalry and this grasping and this desire and this restlessness and this anxiety to build a life, actually ends up fleeing from his family. And the story is picked up in the pages of history in Genesis chapter 28 from verse 10. Listen to this, where we pick up this restless shepherd fleeing from his family home in hope to find a wife and to secure some kind of a life that will find him satisfied with his loss. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Now, a weird thing happens to us sometimes when we read the Bible. We get all churchy, we get all pious Christian, and when something's weird, we don't want to call the Bible on being weird. I don't encourage in you a spirit that always critically reads Scripture and says, when something's weird, why is it weird? There's weird stuff here. This is a man fleeing his home at Beersheba, setting out for Haran, and reaching the middle of nowhere. He stops in a certain place, a place at that time of no name. And he stopped for the night because that was his travel plan. No, he stopped for the night because he'd run out of lights. This is a desperate man, a restless man, a man who's just going for it, finds himself in the middle of nowhere, in the dark, and in his restlessness, he grabs a stone and puts a stone under his head as a pillow. Now, I don't know what you're thinking. Maybe you think, well, it's 4,000 years ago. Maybe he's a bit Ooga Booga caveman. Even Ooga Booga cavemen knew that stones don't make good pillows. You see, this is a picture of restless, desperate reaching. I left the town of a name. I'm going to a town of a name. Now I'm in the middle of nowhere in the dark because I ran out of light. My travel plans didn't quite work out, and now I'll use a stone for my pillow. What I want you to see is the picture of a restless and unsettled shepherd man. Well, that night, this man has a dream. And in his dream, he sees a ladder. A ladder that comes from earth and reaches to heaven. And on that ladder, his vision is one of angels, heavenly beings who are ascending and descending on the ladder. Now, if you're clever and took my advice of being a critical Bible reader, there's a question you should ask at this point. They're angels, right? Flap, flap. What do they need a ladder for? Why would an angel need a ladder to ascend and descend? He's got wings. The reason is because God is showing Jacob something in this dream. In his restlessness, God grants him a vision where, yes, he sees those who can fly descending and ascending, but the ladder is there to plant in Jacob and to plant in the people of God's mind that there shall come a day when there will be a sound connection between the earthly and the heavenly. And when that connection of earthly and heavenly arrives, the messengers from heaven and the blessings from heaven will descend upon the earth. And the people of earthly restless state shall not be abandoned, for God and his messengers will be with them. The latter was never for the angels' benefit. It was for Jacob's, that he would see what God had in mind. And the next thing he sees as he looks to the top of the ladder is the Lord God himself at the top. And honestly, it's about 4,000 years too early, but the song would ring true on this day. God rest ye, Jacob shepherd. God rest ye, Mary, Jacob shepherd. Because God is saying, Jacob, I see you in your earthly state. And I want you to know a day is coming where heaven and earth will be joined together. And at that time, the blessings and the rest and the peace and the fullness of heaven will be upon you. And in fact, God makes a promise. And I paraphrase, but the promise of God to Jacob is, Jacob, you man who are running from home, hoping to build a wife, hoping to build a life, hoping to find a wife. Hoping you wouldn't notice that. I promise you home, and I promise you family. Jacob, you who always lived in your big, tough brother's shadow, I promise that you will go from being a deceiver to you and your descendants will be a blessing. Jacob, I promise you what every human heart desires. I promise that you'll be taken seriously. I promise that your life will be a life of significance. You will make a difference in the world. Jacob, I promise that I will watch over you. And Jacob, I promise that I will not leave you. You see, the amazing encounter of a restless shepherd and the hosts of angels and the God who commands them is all about the promise of heaven and earth coming together. It's all about the promise of a God who will rest ye merry, all of us who are restless and anxious. And as heaven and earth engage, the restless will be rested. And the worry of earthly state will turn to joy. And so you know what happened? God's people waited. They waited for God's plan to unfold. And it's precisely what happened at Christmas. For we heard the story. You see, Jacob is not the last of the restless shepherds. I don't know if you realize, because few of us probably have a background in shepherding, but shepherding is something of a restless and something of an often grim occupation. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Here we read, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields, nearby keeping watch over their flocks at night." Again, there's a wealth of information here. "They were living in the fields." You might think, that sounds nice, little cottage in the fields, wonderful. The original language says this, they were living agrileo, where we get the word agriculturally. They were literally living out of doors. They didn't sleep inside like you and I. They lived literally in a field where their animals lived. They lived agriculturally. What do? They're keeping watch. Now, that's deliberately given to us like that to understand the life of a shepherd is to live outdoors in the night. No mag lights, no high-powered torch, no electricity. When everybody else is tucked up at home with the door bolted, the shepherds are constantly vigilant, keeping watch. What's that sound? That sound could lead to the death of our animals or the death of us. I can't see because I'm keeping watch, active vigilance in the uncertainty of night. You see, look, the life of a shepherd is one that's restless. It's unsettled life. These are the battlers. If you've ever found yourself saying, oh, it never ends. Have you ever cleared your inbox of email and then a whole bunch more coming? It never ends. Have you ever heard a young mum who just thinks she's got all kids sorted out and settled and then one pees their pants and she, oh, it never ends. Have you ever seen one of those envelopes that you thought looked cool when you were a kid with the little window and now you know as an adult they're never cool, they're bills? And you just paid some bills and your budget's not quite working out and you go, oh, it never ends. If you've ever said it never ends, then you understand a little bit of the restless life of a shepherd. Now, I want you to contrast the restless and anxious keeping watch by night life of a shepherd with that of the angels that confront them. An angel comes in verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. This angel doesn't live agrileo. He doesn't live agriculturally. He's an angel of the Lord. He is a heavenly dweller. He dwells in the place of perfection and is sent out by God with messengers, with messages. He's not one constantly, vigilantly keeping watch, worried about what's going on. Instead, the actual language here isn't even appeared. It just said an angel stood. One is active and vigilant. One is planted, whole, full, complete, sound, at peace. The other is vigilantly watching. And whilst the shepherd dwells in the night, hoping, dreaming that someday Thomas Edison will come along and give him a light, the angel appears, and what do we read? That the glory of the Lord shone from him. Do you see that in this encounter? There is a massive invasion of two worlds. This is heaven and earth. The quintessential man of the land, the shepherd, has an encounter with the heavenly being, and it freaks him out. The interaction in verse 9 tells us that the shepherds were terrified again, unsettled, earthly, and scared. The angel, he's not scared. He says, "Do not be afraid." He brings the peace of heaven and offers it to the shepherd. He carries a "God rest ye merry gentlemen" kind of message. He approaches the anxious and says, "I've come with good news. I've come with something that will soothe you, settle you, and make you whole." Now, I wonder and I worry if we can really comprehend this, because I don't know what you think about angels. I remember a short time after I was converted having a conversation with my wife, she was my wife at the time, and my faith was so incredibly logical that I said, "I don't reckon angels actually exist." And my girlfriend of the time says to me, "Well, they're kind of in the Bible." And I was rocked. I went, "So what will I do with these mystical, freaky, supernatural things that I'm not used to?" Just the mention of them freaked me out. I was freaked out all the more. I remember when I was studying at Moore College, I came home and there were some ministers who had been in my house while I was out, and they'd been praying. And one of them told me, whilst we prayed, an angel appeared to us tonight. Now, I've never seen an angel, but I had to make a decision at that point. Either these guys are going to start raving crazy, either they're lying, or angels are beings that are real and appear at times of God's choosing when heaven chooses to break in dramatic ways. Now, this is not all about angels, because the angels themselves wouldn't want it to be all about them. They want it to be all about Jesus. And that's exactly what their announcement is. They announce, or he announces, "I am here to announce that heaven is breaking into earthly life." Verse 11 and 12. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." I don't know if you notice again, very clever language here. They didn't say, "Go to Bethlehem," which is the language that the shepherds will use later. They say, "In the town of David." Now, if you're a young shepherd, whose poster do you reckon you've got on your wall? No one's, because you live agrileo, you live outside, don't have walls. But if you had walls and posters were invented, don't you think the mention of the once shepherd boy who beat up Goliath, who God anointed by his spirit and made him the Messiah of his day, the Christ of his day, the King of Israel, don't you think he might be a big deal to you? The announcement of the heavenly beings to these earthly men is God is breaking in, and he's breaking in the city of the shepherd who was once lifted up by God and made great. Their announcement is amazingly encouraging for these people of the earth to know that the God who has been active before in the lives of people is extremely active today. You see, he is extremely active at Christmas because the long time ago vision of a ladder in the birth of Jesus, that dream is fulfilled. That dream is fulfilled because when Jesus gets born, heaven actually breaks in and becomes earthly. The blessings of heaven descend to be a part of the existence of humankind. And at this point, the idea of God, rest ye merry gentlemen, is not just a song. At this point, this is not just a hope. At this point, if we will understand Jesus as the fulfillment of the dream of someone that links heaven to earth and brings the blessing and the wholeness and the fullness of heaven to earth, then we might sing and hear the words, God rest ye merry gentlemen, as a fulfilled prayer. And ask the guys, I want the sound of this to echo in this room as we finish. I want the sound of this song to be with us because it belongs to this message where we have a God who is great and powerful and heavenly and full, but who has not left us alone in our restlessness and in our anxiety. He has done something so dramatic in Jesus where heaven and earth come together. And in the birth of Jesus, the blessing of heaven comes to you. And the blessing of heaven comes to me. And so while we say, God rest ye merry, because God has brought his blessing down to humans. God has made himself known to us. God has given us an amazing hope that the angels announce in verse 14 when they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. I love the way John Piper likes to say, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. The announcement of verse 14 is this beautiful relationship between heaven and earth. God in his splendor is so glorified when the people of the earth no longer stress and worry over earthly things. Oh, they'll still have them. But they are people secured knowing that their God has come down, that heaven and earth have come together. They are a people that though they have struggles and things like that, they hear the promises to that restless shepherd Jacob ages ago. Hey, I'll give you a home. I'll give you a family. I'll take you seriously. You can be a blessing to all kinds of people. And if you will trust in that, the God of heaven is glorified. Maybe today you want a life of restless striving to be over. I know that's been my lot for a lot of the time. I still wrestle with it. I want you to know the ladder is here. Heaven has broken in. Jesus has come. A Savior is born. He raises up shepherds and he'll raise you up too. He will make your life full. Your life won't be easy, but your life will have hope. Your restlessness will turn to rest. Your anxiety will turn to peace, and your striving in him turns to wholeness. Man, for years in my teens, I rode a push bike as fast as I possibly could. And I got up early and I trained hard, and whatever I was told to do, I did. You know what drove me? An intense restlessness and fear. I just did not want to end my days on planet Earth being just another number. I felt a restlessness that if I can just ride faster than everybody else, hey, I'm not curing cancer, but at least I would have made my mark and I would be significant. And man, was that a weight. Man, was that a pressure. Man, was that a hard thing to live under. You might not ride a bike, but I suspect for a number of us, there are other things that cause us to strive and make us feel like, oh, I got it. I just got to achieve. How can I put life together? For me, that all changed when I met Jesus. I was 17, I met Jesus, and I understood that God had come down and he had come down for me. And I realized that according to him, I was pretty significant. I was pretty important to him. Some of you have heard the story of what I did on my first day as an ordained minister. I buried my mother. Not in my strength, but in the wholeness of knowing a God who had come down to rescue and make me whole. I want you to have that too. I wonder if you're one of those people. This isn't to shame you, it happens. I've done it too. Some of us are resume readers. You know, as you meet someone, you just can't help but read them your resume. The things you do well, the things you're good at, the things others have said about you, just so they might accept you and, you know, all the fear goes away. Imagine if you didn't have to be a resume reader anymore. Imagine if instead you could just recall in your mind, no, God came down for me. God has rested me, Mary. God has made me whole. Because of God, I belong to His family and I don't need to fight for significance. Security is not in what I can do, but in what has been done for me. He watches over me, just like He said of Jacob. He will not leave me, just like He said of that restless shepherd. And now my life is at peace. If you don't know that yet, you need to see this ladder. And you need to know that there is a ladder that extends from earth to heaven. And it is the Lord Jesus, the one announced on that Christmas morning. He's the one who brings us to God, who brings that amazing blessing together. I want you to know that that makes a difference into eternity as people have confidence of living eternally. I want you to know that that makes a difference now. I want you to know, if you are even contemplating this year that Christmas is not that great a time because you'll be alone, I pledge to you tonight, there is not a person in this room who needs to spend Christmas alone. I will make a place at my table, or there are many other people here who will have a place and joyously celebrate you as part of their family at their table. No one needs to be alone, because when this ladder in Jesus came, it means the blessings of heaven come to people. And the blessings of heaven are the citizens of heaven. The people in this church who trust in Jesus are citizens of heaven, and they are God's gift to you today. God's gift to you to help you in your journey to wholeness with Jesus. And all you got to do is stop stressing and worrying, but come to Christ instead. Come and trust in the one who came from earth, from heaven to earth to rescue, to bring peace, and to bring wholeness. And so I'm going to pray. And if you want to make this your prayer, all you got to do is say amen. And then make sure you tell someone about it, because the first step to being whole is sharing in the family's joy. So make sure someone knows about it. Let me pray, because God has done an amazing thing in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you that at Christmas we celebrate that the great chasm between earthly stress, anxiety, and restlessness has ended because heavenly perfection has come down. Heavenly Father, we ask that all of us in this room tonight might understand what it means to say glory to God in the highest and peace to people on earth on whom His favor rests. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every one of us that the stresses of anxiety, restlessness, that might end, and instead each person might come to Jesus now and rest in Jesus now, knowing that He is the one who makes us whole. He is the one who makes us complete, and He is the one who brings us into your family. Father God, look now in favor on every person who makes that their prayer.